couple of years ago, my great nephews or grand nephews, I'm never sure how that is described technically, but they are the two children of my older niece. They came to Norman to visit me, and I took them around to various places of entertainment. One day, someone said to me, "You should take them to the Museum of Osteology." And I thought, well, now that would not interest me very much, but the person who suggested it had little children and insisted this was a good thing to do, and you know, it's right up the road, so off we went. Now I have to, again, insist, this is not something that would normally attract my attention. A building full of bones doesn't excite my curiosity very much, but I trusted the recommendation of this friend who'd been there a few weeks earlier with her children and her grandchildren. If you haven't been there, it's not a very impressive building. Not very imposing, nothing at all like the Natural History Museum here in Norman. I think that the boys were mostly cooperative with my idea because they didn't know what osteology was. And they had trusted me to take them to Andy Alligator's the day before, and they didn't know what that was either until we got there, and then it cost me about $150 worth of tokens. But they liked it a lot. So off we went to the Museum of Osteology. I was hesitant, trying not to spoil their experience by acting so, but we went in, and I paid the price of admission, and as soon as we stepped through the door, they went wild. Standing at the entrance was what seemed to me to be a huge pile of bones wired together in a somewhat thoughtful way, resembling nothing I could identify. But immediately, both boys are standing there pointing and shouting out the name of some aquatic creature I don't think I could name if I saw it alive. For more than an hour, they raced around in that place, running back to me now and then, insisting that I must come and see what to me was another arrangement of bones, which they insisted with great delight was some other creature about which I had no knowledge and even less interest. Now, whenever I hear Jesus in this gospel praising the wisdom of children, I always think of this experience. Those boys, like every child, take the most simple yet thrilling delight in things I sometimes cannot see, but they can. A simple and a pure mind can receive truths that the learned and the clever cannot ever take in. It is possible in this life to be too clever. And I know a lot of people who are too smart. In these few verses in Luke's gospel, those of us who think we are so smart, wise, educated, or whatever, are called to task for our failure to see. What we're invited to see is to see what God sees, and perhaps even to see as God sees. It's all about seeing and sight. It teases us out of biological optical impulses into the sight or to the eyes of faith. In the verses just before these today, Luke has the first missionaries, the very first ones sent out in the name of Christ, he has them returning, and they're all excited because of what they have seen happen. As they say to Jesus in the verse just before this gospel, "Even the demons are subject to us because of your name." And then Jesus, who hears this, says, "Yes, even I have seen Satan fall from the sky like lightning." Then he turns to them and he warns them that their joy should not be over what they have accomplished, but because of who they are. Rejoice, he says, because your names are written in heaven. With that, Jesus breaks into prayer with these verses, praising God for what God is revealing to them. And then he turns to those disciples and pronounces them blessed because they can see who he is. And they can see what the revelation of the Father is going on here. They can see what those learned and scholarly scribes and Pharisees, those self-perpetuating snobs, may we say, what they cannot see. As we listen to this gospel proclaimed, brothers and sisters, we must hope for and desire that kind of sight. We must open our minds and our hearts to see the glory of God in all creation and in all of God's children. All of God's children, not just the ones who are like us, who think like us, vote like us, or talk like us. All of God's children. Because in the truth, God can't see any difference. We must see as God sees. We must see what God sees if we are to be counted among those blessed. From flowers to clouds, from simple acts of kindness to great moments of generosity, there's always cause for rejoicing here. Friends, feel the joy of Jesus as he breaks into praise of the Father, over the fact that these disciples can see with the eyes of faith what is before them. Look today with the eyes of faith at what gets placed on this altar. See with the simple eyes of a child what bread and wine are, because of what we do in the name of Jesus Christ. Then, see with the eyes of faith what happens to us who receive the word and this sacrament in his presence. Count your blessings. Know your blessedness. And be a blessing in his name.